All right, so Dale asked a therapist to talk for 15 to 25 minutes on forgiveness. So this is going to be fast and furious, so hold on to your seat. Okay, so I'm going to ask that you just close your eyes first. Close your eyes and visualize someone from your past that has caused you pain. Someone you might feel a need to begin forgiving. Who were you at that time? What did you begin to think about yourself after the wounding? How did it change who you were and who you decided to become? Now I want you to consider your views on forgiveness. Do you believe you have been able to forgive that person? Did you just give up? Is the process over? Have you ever seen the pain spill over into your current life? Okay, go ahead and open your eyes. Okay. So now come take a look into my journal with me. I'm going to share a little bit of my story. I'm going to read this, though, because it's very personal to who I am, and I really want to make sure I get this right. It was the turn of a new century, and I was studying ministry in college, deeply divided on if women should even be in leadership in the church. The Bible department was at war with the ministry department, and many times, women studying the degree were asked to defend her calling and examine motives. My mentor, a man to this day whose memory and life still inspires me, asked me to help him lead worship for a newly formed church in the middle of rural Indiana. He, other than my parents, pushed me to believe in myself more than any other person, telling me I was a powerful leader in the church. One day I saw a Christian band performing in a worship concert, and the head singer knelt down on his knees while he was singing. And at 20 years old, this seemed really cool to me. At the young age of 20, I thought that was inspiring and sincere, so the next Sunday I proceeded to do the same thing in a genuine attempt to lead the congregation in worship. A couple of weeks later, my mentor called me into a meeting. Now looking back on it, he tried to talk about other things first and had genuine pain in his eyes as he finally asked me to take a break from leading. The leadership test had asked a young woman into ministry, but when it became difficult to satisfy all members of the church while still supporting me, my mentor made a decision that began an unfolding of my heart. I do not honestly remember the rest of the conversation because the damage had been done. All I heard was a man who had taught me to lead that was no longer there. I was facing the critics without him. Forgiveness. Why is it so difficult to explain? Why is it so big, and why does it stir up so much in us? As a therapist, I've tried to understand this concept for years, and when Dale asked me to speak about it, I was honestly filled with this huge feeling of being overwhelmed. It's big, it's unclear, and it's a process. It is a relationship with your anger and your pain that must be attended to with willful decisions. Most people assume that they have done the work just because the anger is not as powerful or your throat no longer closes, like you're about to cry. However, repressed emotion can be just as dangerous as recently inflicted pain. Let's start with what is forgiveness. What is it not? Forgiveness is not forgetting or denying essential emotions that lead you through a very important process. As therapists, we consider it dangerous to repress emotions. We call this kick the dog syndrome. So oftentimes people will expend great energy trying to tell me about how they have forgiven them. And yet when I ask them how this pain continues to impact their lives today, they'll tell me about their current relationships, and they start to get a little shiver to their voice. What must forgiveness entail? In the therapy world, we use a theory called person-centered therapy. It's a very powerful idea. As the person that is forgiving, we must take the time to understand our offender's story. That's the idea behind person-centered therapy. So slowly, we can only release the anger as we take the time to consider what our offender was going through. Now, I would not begin to understand the pains of the people in this room, and even to say that out loud might be too much to ask. But as you get to know your offender's story more deeply, as you begin to extend compassion to them or even allow yourself to feel anger towards them, you might feel the knot start to loosen. And to me, as a therapist, that's my greatest goal for you. According to Robert Enright and Richard Fitzgibbon, over time, to make a more responsive goodness towards the offender or offenders is the goal of anyone forgiving. So I'm going to start with a couple of key steps for anyone that you might need to forgive. Be specific. Show courage to lean into the emotions and determine what exactly about that behavior or that situation or attachment wounding has hurt you. Start with being honest with where you are in the process and begin an inventory of what staying right where you are is costing you. As a therapist, I see a huge mistake parents make, and I'm beginning to make it myself. And it's not allowing enough time for righteous anger. Of course anger must be contained. Of course it must be boundaried. But pushing someone who has been offended too quickly means you risk that person no longer believing in the righteousness of God. You have to allow your kids to feel anger. Most people believe anger to be scary or a dangerous emotion that must be avoided. Okay, now I'm going to start getting really excited. So when I was studying about forgiveness, oftentimes therapists look at the stages of grief. So we look at denial and bargaining and questioning. And it's a very powerful process that most people have to go through. No, you don't have to go through each step. Sometimes you can resolve them quietly. But oftentimes there's a process that people have to go through in their grief. And now therapists are talking about the sixth step of forgiveness. But what I love about this is it gives such a dignity to the process of forgiveness. This cannot be done overnight. So as I was getting excited about my stages of grief, it all of a sudden hit me. I'll sit there in the therapy room and people will express to me their anger. And I always will say to them, well, that's okay. Jesus got angry. He was angry in the temple. Remember? So Matthew 21:12, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were bullying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money chargers and benches and those selling the doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making a den of robbers. So he got angry. Pretty sure that's okay. So then we move on to grief. I started looking, did Jesus ever show grief? It's pretty special that he did. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, Luke 19:41. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus wept. Thank God, he's working the stages. Bargaining and questioning. So oftentimes people call this just bargaining. I find that my clients oftentimes express it much more through questioning. Did Jesus do that? Anybody? So Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Questioning, Jesus asking God on the cross, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46, about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was working the steps. Acceptance, which can only lead to forgiveness. Luke 22:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Acceptance. Many therapists believe that the sixth stage is that of grief. But you must go through the process in order to get there. So I'm looking at the stages of grief, and then all of a sudden it hits me. This is not an original idea. I'm sure it's written down somewhere. Just haven't found it yet. Okay, so if Jesus was fully man, and we have offended him, then potentially he got hurt. Potentially it was hard for him. So I don't know that it ever hit me that if he's fully man, then potentially for a long time, he was going through a grief process to be able to forgive me. But, according to person-centered therapy, he would have to fully know me in order to forgive me. So he'd have to be fully God. This week, the power of the cross hit me on a fairly, on the largest significant level that it ever has in my life. He was human enough to weep and get angry and question. I always felt like theology was like a Mary Poppins bag, and you just pulled out different emotions, you know? Like, he got angry, and that's okay, and he got sad, and that's okay. It never really hit me. He was going through his process to get back to me. I don't know about you, but that leaves me in a place where I could be inspired to potentially do the same. My mentor continued to try and maintain a relationship, but from my young age, I did not have the capacity to try and understand. I took this as a major act of betrayal, focused on human rights and Christian therapy as a new love formed in me for culture. I learned quickly in my conservative Christian education that labeling myself as a therapist granted me equal access into hurting people's lives, but not with the scrutiny and pain of a woman in ministry can face. I carried this wounding in me for 10 years before that mentor listened to a prompting from God and asked me for forgiveness. It opened an avalanche of pain within me as I began to ask God where I had to begin my process of forgiveness, where I had let the pain hold me back, and what that would mean for my decisions in the future. Even last month when Dale asked me to speak, I felt immediate fear. Not wanting to trust another man in Christian leadership was such a vulnerable thing as sharing my heart with you. But then as I began to research, I saw that I am only on my journey towards forgiveness, and that this just might be another significant step in my healing. Two side notes when it comes to forgiveness. All of us are wounded, but it is by working through these difficult emotions that we bring that pain not only into our present, but out of our future. Forgiveness is an essential part of our being freed. Also, I have now adopted to no longer say that I forgive you. I'm forgiving you. It takes me a while. Be patient, church. My dearest mentor, John, it has been close to 13 years since that day, and with every year, I'm forgiving you. This world and myself a little more. I was so young, John, and I can only imagine what it was like for you to try and be leading a congregation that I know did not fully share your belief in women in ministry. I admit that I hid behind that pain for so many years, possibly even using it to no longer have to be vulnerable. So I guess in the process, I'm learning to forgive you, but I also must forgive myself. You saw something in me, and if I show courage, maybe the power of your belief can be undammed after all of these years. Thank you, my dear friend. I'm so sorry it took me so long to want to understand. And thank you, God, for not giving up on me. Amen.